I just want to introduce one faithful Korean writer named Lee Suk An, or we call her An Lee Suk. We call her like An Lee Suk Samonim too. Lee Suk An wrote many Christian books, among which there is a book titled If I Perish, I Perish. If I Perish, I Perish. She was born in Japanese occupation period, but she met Jesus and became a Christian, faithful Christian. But for some political issues against the Japanese regime, she went to jail in 1940. About 6 years, she shared the gospel with the people there in the jail, and there were many fruits. However, at the end of the period in jail, she was sentenced to death penalty on August 14, 1945. But the day of execution, she was freed from the jail because Japan surrendered without condition due to the atomic bomb of United States Air Force dropped twice in Japan, Hiroshima on August 6th and Nagasaki on August 9th. So a couple of days later, Japan surrendered without condition. That day was August 15, 1945. On that day, she was sentenced to be killed as the in the execution. So at the perfect timing, the faithful woman, An Lee Suk Samonim, was rescued from her execution. Praise the Lord. In fact, U.S. government did not have any plan to rescue this unnamed woman. They just wanted to win against Japan, so they did it. But God used that operation to save his faithful people out of death. This kind of amazing story encourages us that God is faithful to his people like us. So we are okay whenever we are facing difficult things around us. Yes, right. Do you think this is always right? Well, in fact, in the Bible, this is not convinced. Rather, we can see a bunch of cases that God was silent and his people were dead. Yes, we can see God works for his people faithfully on time, as An Lee Suk Samonim's case. But even though our life will be victorious at the end of our life, we believe that, right? Our current life situation, our context on earth, generates what? Many difficult things without stopping. So with this reality, I hope this message encourages you, all who suffered for God, for the glory of God. Daniel's reaction to the injunction was prayer, as we can see, which is the way of life to him, or his way of life. As you can see in verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, we may know the document, about the document. If you look at, just read verses 1 through 9, the previous text shows us what happened before this event. King Darius, new king for Media or Persia, ruled over the big country when he was 62 years old, very old age. So he set 120 satraps, sort of a governance nowadays, and three president or representative of king over the 120 people. So it's like a pyramid structure. King and three representatives and 120 satraps, the governors. But, you know, the text shows us Daniel was totally different, exceedingly prominent out of 122 people there, the representative or satraps. So King Darius decided to set Daniel upon the two, or upon the 122 people, the representative or the, you know, political structure. he wanted to set him over them. So the people there around Daniel wanted to find any fault to accuse him, but they couldn't find any fault. Text 10. And then also, the verse 3 and 4 shows us that Daniel was with an excellent spirit. In other words, the real term is like this. An excellent spirit was in him. The excellent spirit was in Daniel. What does it mean, the excellent spirit? Of course, it's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was with him. Because of that fact, Daniel could be living the well, the powerful believer's life, or the life of God's people. He could live out. Anyway, with the help of the Holy Spirit, Daniel was different, cannot compare to any other people there. Because of that reason, Darius the king decided to set him up. But the people around Daniel plotted a wicked plan to kill him. So they gathered together and they invented one idea, like, let us make an injunction. The injunction is to ban the worship or petition to any other gods or people other than the king for 30 days. Such a funny, silly injunction in history. We cannot see, we cannot find any, you know, this kind of injunction in entire human history, I believe. For 30 days. Why? Because they wanted to kill Daniel. Clear purpose they had. King Darius didn't know this plan before, or he might know that. But political issues at the time is very complicated. It's, you know, we need to study more. You know, just think about many different, you know, like United States, we have, you know, many states, right? Gather together to make one nation. How about 120 states there? You know, there are many different ethnicities, and they wanted to make their representative promote to be the king over their nations. And then Darius became the king, but he didn't have enough power to rule over that big nation, big kingdom. So he worried about any coup d'etat or something, you know, always. That was the situation there. So even though he was a king, he couldn't control the country by his own will. That's why we don't know whether or not this king knew this wicked plan, but he passed it. He passed it. And then today's text begins with, Daniel knew that in verse 10. When Daniel knew that, the document had been signed. Yes, of course, he knew all the processes, all the process of this injunction, because he was one of the three, highest position, right? But after that, he came back to his house and went up to the upper chamber, open toward Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. This is the way of Daniel's life. In other words, prayer. You know, he met a different or difficult, very hard situations. Let me add one more fact, very important. Do you know how old he was at the time? Many pictures, photos, you know, to illustrate it, this kind of text. In Daniel in the Den of Lions, I saw many different versions, but I couldn't find any right version, like 80 years old or 85 years old man in the den. No. Because they lost important historical fact. That's why they lost the fact he was over 80 years old at the time. He was older than King Darius, 62 years old. Think about this moment. Daniel passed many periods of time. He spent almost 70 years in Babylon. And he was waiting for God's restoration of Israel, as he promised. After 7 years, I will restore my people. We know that. He remembered that. He prayed for 7 years by believing the fact, you know, toward Jerusalem, 3 times a day. But he passed many difficult, deadly moments, as we know. And we also knew that his friend, three faithful friends, they went through, you know, the deadly moment. They went, you know, were thrown into the fire furnace. We knew that, right? And Daniel wanted to be faithful all the time to God. Then why God allow this kind of deadly moment again to the old aged Daniel? That should be the question we need to ask. I think it's enough for him. He experienced many tribulations. That's enough. He's old enough, over 80 years old. I guess he was over 85 years old. Then why? You know, we may expect something like very powerful or triumphant event of God by his powerful hand, you know, as he did for An-Yisuk Samonim. That's amazing, right? We may expect here many Christians cannot be patient like this. Okay, I know the result of this prayer. I know the conclusion of this story. So let's get to the conclusion and let's enjoy it. And also, if we want to develop this story more, then don't, please stop it. That's not important. At the end, we have the victory. But just think about that. Why did I choose this text for main text? We have a 3-part in chapter 3. One is 1 to 9. The other is 10 to 18 and 19 to following verses. We know the background and result already, if you read through this chapter. But why do we need to focus on this passage today? Why? Everyday life is like this. This is our everyday life. But many Christians don't like hear this kind of message. Stop it. I don't want to listen to that kind of message because I want to enjoy my victorious life. Then why God gave this deadly moment to the aged Daniel? We don't know, but he gave this deadly moment to Daniel. And what is his response? Complaint? God, enough. Or he just followed the steps. He just followed the steps. He came back to his house, and as usual, he prayed to God for this matter. Pray for Israel's restoration as well as the victorious life against this kind of a deadly satanic moment or tribulation, he prayed, I believe. That's why verse 11 said, he made petition and plea. These two are different. One is for, normally the scholars think, the petition is for Israelites, the restoration, and plea is for himself. He prayed, you know. And then, you know, we know the story. They found Daniel was praying, and they accused him with the law twice. King, do you know we cannot change the law, right? Twice emphasized, we cannot change. In other words, you cannot deliver him, even though you love him. Like that, they enjoy the moment here, twice. And then, as we know, the Darius would not be able to rescue him and just sentence and commanded to throw him into the den of lions. And then at the time, there, you know, every man in Babylon or the Media and Persia had a sort of a signet ring like this. And step, that's normal, it's like a cell phone nowadays, okay? So every man has that. According to the one renowned historian, Herodotus, he was living in 480 BC, So he knew many about that, you know. Greek historian, he said that in his book. That's why, verse 17, the king just sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lord. The people there, including king, they had their own signet. They used the signet and put it on the mud. Actually, we don't have any reference here, but normally they, you know, after putting the big stone into the, you know, the entrance of the den, and there must be some gaps between door and the entrance. So they use mud to fill in, you know, the gaps. And after that, they just put the signet on it a couple of places. And we may guess a couple of hours later, the mud would be dried out, dried. Then the signet is there. And then if they try to move the stone, it was broken, right? So that is one way to secure the site. Very wise way, I think. So they did that. In other words, there was no light after sealing the gap. Daniel was down there with lions, no light. And then last verse shows us desperate moment again. The king went to his palace and spent the night fasting without eating anything, and no diversions were brought to him. Any entertainment he did not enjoy, and he couldn't sleep through the night. This is one section of this one wonderful story of Daniel. As I said before, I wanted to emphasize this text more than the victorious or triumphant moment later on. Why? Every Christian knew that. We know at the end, after Jesus coming, we will enjoy in glory. We know that. But how about your life nowadays? Is it still triumphant? Or you are sometimes, you fail your life. You cannot stand sometimes. You're discouraged. You cannot serve the church or serve God, our Father. Yes, you know, our life context, we experience those kind of deadly moments. Sometimes physically, sometimes spiritually. So I believe this text shows us our reality of the people of God. We are in this chunk, not the end of the triumphant moment yet. Think about Jesus Christ when he prayed through the night before the cross. He prayed, "Father, if you want, if you will, let me pass this cup." What was the answer? He said, "No, you should take this." So Jesus died on the cross. In other words, in the Bible, even though many faithful people pray for salvation or restoration, God's answer was not always yes, immediately. Rather, sometimes wait, sometimes no. We don't know the answer of it. But you know what? We have a wonderful thing here. As I said before, in verse 3, Daniel was totally different from any other people there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was in him. And also, I said, Daniel experienced many things through his life. He was over 80 years old, but he experienced many wonderful things, many, many kinds, in foreign country, based on his experience and the work of the Holy Spirit in him. He were able to go through this deadly moment, painful, dreadful moment with faith. So right after came back to his place, he prayed for this matter. I ask you, what is your way to respond to the things you are facing in your life? What is the way you are doing or you overcome the things you face? Do you think the prayer is necessary to you or not? That's my question. Many Christians believe prayer has power, and we need to pray. But in reality, they don't pray. They try to pray, but don't finish their prayer. And they say, why did God do not answer to my prayer? Those kind of complaint they did. So I urge you and encourage you to remember these things. You know, we know the end of our life in Christ Jesus. That's everlasting, permanent, triumphant. But nowadays, on earth, sometimes we cannot taste it. But this chunk of the story tells us, okay, don't worry. This is the reality of our Christian life. So you are in that portion, in that chunk. So you will go there, but don't forget, you are in that period of time. Sometimes, you know, when you pray, God will say, wait for 10 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Sometimes answer right away. We don't know. But that is our situation. In other words, there is no wrong thing. There is nothing wrong. Even though we pray wrong, don't get the answer. So I urge you to remember to pray our Heavenly Father whenever we face the things, difficult moment in our life. Why? We have the Holy Spirit in us. We are His people. We have the right to pray to Him. And we will wait. We are able to wait. His powerful answer. Do you have any reference to this? Like any experiences in your past life? How about your past years? Do you have any powerful experiences? As Daniel had. I encourage you again, just remember who is with you and remember what God has done for you, for your life, through Jesus Christ. Isn't that enough to have those kind of two things in your life? What else more do you want to get? You know, sometimes we have a plan or purpose to achieve more. Yes, we should pray, but my argument is to the things, the hard things around us, when we try to live out the real Christian in the world. So I encourage you again with this word. You know, God is with us. He is listening to our prayer. And we have beautiful experiences in our life. And then we want to go with Him. Even though now we cannot taste the real victory, we will do that. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this message. Daniel's life is sort of miserable from the perspective of general people. But you allow these things to Daniel, the old aged. Why? We don't know yet the conclusion of this story if we are just faithful to this text alone. Father, but we saw two important things here. One is the Spirit of God was with him. And then he, based on his many powerful experiences of God in his life, he just asked these things to you right after witnessing the things happen in the palace. Father, we believe this is our life context. So sometimes we are discouraged and we just complain like, where are you, Father? Like that. Yes, that is our life context. Sometimes we thought just because God is not answering to my prayer right away, so God is sleeping or dead. But this text tells us, even though this kind of deadly moment, God was with Daniel and listening to his prayer, and he just asked the help to his Heavenly Father, the everlasting help. Father, so in our life context, we want to ask you, whenever we face the things that we cannot overcome by ourselves, Father, we need you, and then want to remember this message throughout this week whenever we try to show our reality or status as your people in the world. Father, thank you, we prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.